You are Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
It is Locked On Jazz for the 2nd of March. The Jazz are not sharp. First quarters, defense shows it, plus some players off their game. Is it a level of concern? What happened last night against the Pelicans? Plus, it's a power ranking Tuesday. We'll look at all that coming up on today's edition of Locked On Jazz. Pow! How are you? I'm David Locke, radio voice of the Utah Jazz, Jazz NBA insider. This is Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz, giving you insight, expertise, geeky numbers, and hopefully making it way better to be a Jazz fan. Thanks very much for tuning in today. Thanks for all the nice reviews at iTunes. Those are much appreciated. We continue to stay on top of the iTunes charts recently with the way the Jazz are playing and you guys listening, and I greatly appreciate that. By the way, I need you to tweet me at DLock09 and let me know who your Built Bar top seeds are. That's right. We're doing the Built Bar bracket to figure out what the best Built Bar bracket or tasting bar is. And super want you to send me a tweet at DLock09 to let me know who you want as your number one seeds. Bracket play starts with play-in games next week. TFF81, thank you very much for the 5-star review. Smart but arrogant, says Ryan, only giving me 2 smarts. Intelligence, no stats, analytics, more interested in telling you what he knows about the game than what's happening in the game. Well, as one commentator voice sounds like he's choking on shards of glass. Big Jazz fan, but can't tolerate the radio play-by-play. The best of the business, tell the fans what's happening in the game well. Humbly and carefully weaving in the broadcaster's statistical knowledge, Locke may be narcissistic and incapable of change. And then there's Steven, who's been listening for years and gives me 5 stars. Thank you very much. Appreciate the reviews on iTunes. All right, let's get to the Jazz. They lose last night to the Pelicans. I thought, you know, prepping for this game, looking over it, not to be narcissistic and being able to see things, but, okay, you're supposed to have smiled, is that I think there's just been really big slippage recently. And understandably, I would actually take it this way. To the Jazz credit, it's taken a lot longer than I thought it would. In other words, when you go on that streak and you win like 9 straight and then you lose and then you win another 9 straight and you've won 8, like at some point that momentum that was carrying us and propelling us to this greatness was building on itself. And at some point was going to slow down and fall off. Okay, it's pretty fun that I can pull up the basketball reference and have us equal to the 5th best team in the history of the NBA. But I don't think any of us really think this is the 5th best team in the history of the NBA. So if you do, I guess I don't think we're the 5th best team in the history of the NBA. I think we're really good. I think we're legitimate title contenders. But I think we're going to go through the same kind of ebbs and flows of a regular 82-game, now in this case 72-game schedule, of any team that's out there. And right now, we're noticeably tired and not sharp. We're good enough that we get away with it. I mean, you know, we have the amount of double-digit wins we have, and all those statistics tell you that we're really, really good. We're just not sharp right now. So let's walk through what I mean by that. Let me back it up. So if you kind of walk back and even go to the Philadelphia 76ers game when Joel Embiid doesn't play, that was our 31st ranked defensive performance. And to me, they had kind of, we had talked a little bit about how they were showing up every now and then, like our great Hornets win, we were bad defensively. It was like, okay. And then we were bad offensively against the Pacers and great defensively. And then we were great offensively against Celtics and bad defensively. And you're like, you know what? You're winning by double digits. You don't actually have to keep this up. And we were bad offensively against the Heat and great defensively. And then we were bad offensive or great offensively against the 76ers and bad defensively. And so you saw that and you're like, okay, so we're, you know, you can't be perfect every night. If you win by 11, it's totally fine. And then we played the undermanned Clippers team and beat them. And then we played the good Clippers team and had our 30th defensive outing of the night, of the season. So, you know, We are 20, what are we, 27 and 8 now? I guess I probably should know that. I don't. Let me make sure I have it right. I think we've played 35 games, if my memory is correct. We are 27 and 8, and we've played 35 games. So, of our worst defense, four of our worst defensive games of the year have happened in the last eight games. Actually, four of our worst defensive games of the year and four of our five worst defensive games of the year have happened in the last eight games. So that 76er game was 31st. That Clipper game was 30th. Then we play the Hornets. I thought we played really well. We won by 22. That was a good win. We're better than the Hornets, but I mean, they're pretty good. Then we hammer the Lakers, who were so undermanned, they didn't have a chance. Then we lost to Miami. That was our 33rd ranked defensive night of the year out of 35. Then we beat Orlando, who just didn't have the firepower to beat us. But that was our 26th ranked defensive game of the year. And then last night was our 32nd defensive game of the year. So 30, 31, 32, and 33 have all shown up in the last eight games. The only ones that were worse prior to that was the matchup where Denver had the historic shooting night and the Brooklyn Nets game where they basically had a historic shooting night to open the game. So we're just, to me, that's a sign that we're just not sharp. You know, we're super good and we've, and it's nothing like, I don't think we're trying to sneak through games or, the other thing I think that's clear is our first quarters aren't very good. So we're playing from behind while not being super sharp. Like, that actually is a difference for New Orleans. New Orleans has played a bunch of these games all year where they collapse late, but they were ahead by enough last night that when they collapsed, they still held on to win. But they were, you know, tight with San Antonio a few nights ago, and they lost. They were tight with Milwaukee, and they were, you know, I think against San Antonio, I was listening to Jake Madison on Locked On Pelicans. They were 4 of 16 down the stretch. Our first quarters just have not been super. They're not horrific, but they've not been super. But what's interesting about them is they have not been very good on the offensive end more than the defensive end. So if you look at our first quarters recently, Miami at home was our 34th ranked first quarter offensively, then 24th against the Clippers, then 29th against the real Clippers. Hornets was fine. 21st against the undermanned Lakers. 15th against Miami, 30th against Orlando, and 26th against New Orleans. So, and our defense has been kind of all over the map. Like Philadelphia, it was was 34th, and then 19 and 26 and 27th. We just actually haven't, like, we haven't had a top, we've had one top 10 defensive performance in a first quarter in our last eight games. And our offense has not had any top 10 performances in our last eight games. Like, you should be spicing in a top 10 performance every now and then. That is just a sign that you're, you know, and so to me, that's just a little sign that we're not sharp. Again, nothing catastrophic, nothing like that invalidates how they played before or anything of that sort. Just we're not sharp. There's just a lot of signs that you can call it fatigue. I just think they were on this incredible run that was emotionally driving them, and now they've come back a little bit to reality. The third quarter, we've been amazing. We're plus 145 for the season. We're the number one offensive team. We're the number five defensive team. We've been really amazing in the third quarters, except for the last three games we haven't been defensively. Again, to me, they're all road games. That's part of it. Again, that just says to me, like, not sharp and a little tired. Like, nothing, again, nothing catastrophic. It's not even actually unusual, like, three-point shooting or anything. Like, last night in the third quarter, we didn't even get to the free throw line. It's the only third quarter all season long where we haven't got to the line. Okay, you just don't have it. We were 2 of 9 three-point shooting. We've done that before. Frankly, we went 0-4 against Milwaukee, and we've had, it's actually one of our worst three, we've actually had three third quarters that are worse. Went 1 of 10 against Minnesota, went 0 of 7 against Detroit, went 0 of 7 against Milwaukee, but otherwise actually, and we went 2 of 11 against the Lakers. Actually, otherwise, that's actually one of our worst shooting third quarters. We shoot 42% in the third quarter. Like, we just didn't, you know, again, so that's, I think that's, We're just not sharp. And there's individuals that aren't sharp too. We'll dig into that in a second. Are there disturbing, anything disturbing? Yeah, I'll get to the one thing that last night I was slightly disturbed by. I just think it shows up when we're not sharp. I know this is kind of a boring theme to that, but I think it's better than like outrageous, incredible panic on everyone's part. Today's show is brought to you by Murdoch Hyundai, located at 4646 South State Street, also located in Logan and in Linden. The Hyundai lineup of cars is just terrific. As I think you know, if you've listened to the show, we have purchased two Hyundai Santa Fes. I'm currently driving the Tucson. I'm always impressed by whatever I have from Murdoch that I get to drive and experience. The Palisade is probably the sweetest car I've driven of the whole setup, though I don't know. That Sonata was really awesome. The Elantra is the North American Car of the Year, which is just an incredible honor. And then the Santa Fe won a bunch of awards as well. So things are rolling at Hyundai. They've really owned that price point in the market of where you can get what you can get for that value. And so check it out. If you're looking for a car right now, at least take a second and look at Hyundai and look at Murdoch Hyundai. They've been in Utah for 90 years. The Murdoch family, part of the Utah culture and part of Utah through and through, and here to help you out. And Hyundai has all their great warranties and all their award winnings. So email me first at dlock09. That's dlock09@gmail.com. And I will set you up with a VIP meeting so that you don't have to go through any of that awkwardness when you walk in and you wonder whether you got the right salesperson or not. We'll take care of all that for you and get you set up at any of the three locations. Just tell me which one. Actually, I kind of always have to send the email back that says, like, hey, which one? The one other note for you, the electric and plug-in and hybrids are back as well. And the Sonata's got a hybrid right now that's pretty cool. And they also, the Genesis is available. That's a Hyundai upper brand, and they're available too. They're pretty sweet. That's all at Murdoch Hyundai, 4646 South State Street. Today's show is also brought to you by Grip 6. That's right, Grip 6, the great belt, the Utah company, with no flaps, no holes, and no bulk. Unlimited lifetime warranty, quality craftsmanship guaranteed, made right here in Utah each and every time. The Grip 6 belt. They've got fun little videos on how it works, how to choose the right size, all that on the website, as well as they try to make sure that you understand it. Free shipping on anything over $50, and the Locked On promo code gets you 15% off. My favorite two belts are the men's honeycomb belt, and then my nice one is the carbon fiber belt. They've got a brand new chest series, which is really, really cool. If you want to jump into there, they also have new wool socks. The belt gets rave reviews. The wallet gets rave reviews. The belt is just the best fitting belt you'll have. Interchangeable buckles and straps, and talking to people who might have a little bit larger waist size, they'll tell you that it fits better, doesn't give you the kind of crit, the script, that little pinch that other people give you. Makes it a better belt experience. Check it out. They've got a bunch of different lines for you. They've got the Craftsman series, the Naturalist, the Ultralight, the Workman belt, the Conservation series, and the Classic series, all available for you. The men's Ninja belt and the Classic and the Gunmetal belt are pretty sweet. Plus, you can go get some fun colors in there too if you want to. It's all at Grip6.com. Make sure you check out Locked On Today. It's our daily sports podcast, 20 minutes or less of giving you update on everything that's going on in the sports world. Today on Locked On Today, what do they got? Let's check it out. I always like to check and see. Today's Locked On Today with J.J. Watt leaving Houston are the Texans, the worst team in the NFL. The Arizona Cardinals picked it up, and the Atlanta Hawks fire Lloyd Pierce. Will give you update on that, plus all the things walking toward March Madness in college. That's all at Locked On Today. All right, back to some of the so here's my one concern last night. Zion doesn't bother me. He's unbelievable. And I got a lot of people who emailed me and said, like, I can't believe Zion made the All-Star team. Like, I think they'll probably retract that. He and LaMelo Ball coming into the league in the last year are just so incredible to watch. It's just cool. These guys are amazing, and they're game changers. And Zion is certainly a game changer. It is real. But the disconcerting part last night was just the perimeter play that, You know, you can't have LaMelo Ball get 20 or Lonzo Ball get 23. You can't have Bledsoe get 17. Josh Hart get 13. Redick get 17. I mean, Redick, Hart, and Ball get it on 20 of 31 shooting last night. Like, that's the problem. It wasn't Brandon. I mean, Brandon Ingram and Zion Williamson were crazy efficient. I mean, they shot 56%. They were at 60% for a good deal of the night. They only took 11 threes. They did make 7 of them, which, you know, suddenly takes about the fact that you only took 11 of them off the maps. I'm going to guess, actually, if I pulled up some of the second spectrum data that on QSQ, that was an unusual shooting night at a pretty high level. But I don't feel that way watching it. The Jazz just didn't put up a lot of resistance to where New Orleans was going. I'm not sitting here feeling like I did after the Denver game where I'm like, okay, that's just a fluke. They shot craziness. None of that's real. I would say, I mean, the shot zone stuff is pretty crazy. They took 43 shots at the rim last night, which is a bit nutty. They weren't wild on the other stuff. Their long twos were 42%, so they're a shot, you know, they're one or two off their regular. We actually shot it. We probably had a more unusual night. We went 7 of 14 on corner threes. That's pretty high-level shooting. So we just didn't have, again, like, I'm not freaking out. I think, you know, we could have a hard time again against Philadelphia, and we'll go to the break. Could go to the break losing 3 of 4, and then it's like, it'd be great if we could bounce back against Philadelphia, who's really good, but you're on the road playing your fourth game in, what, 6 nights? And so, you know, those factors are still real, even in a COVID year. Home teams are beginning to win more and more, which is really interesting. The COVID teams, with fan, even if it's just 5,000 fans, for whatever reason, that are 3,000 or 1,500, it seems to be impacting the game a little bit. So, you know, I just thought the perimeter defense last night was probably as much a issue as anything. And if you look at some of our defensive numbers, like, it's not worth, you know, pointing, you know, lighting anyone up, but they weren't great. Like, our defensive rating with Gobert on the floor was a 115, which isn't great. With Favors on the floor was a 122. Joe last night and George Niang in that bench unit did not have a good luck defensively. We went back and forth scoring. With Joe on the floor, our defensive rating was a 135. With George on the floor, it was a 141. With Clarkson, it was a 125. Like, that just wasn't, you know, we weren't particularly sharp there, and we couldn't stop them when they had, unfortunately, we couldn't stop them when they had some of their, you know, they really struggle usually when Brandon Ingram's off the floor, and we couldn't stop them when Brandon Ingram was off the floor. When Willie Herman Gomez was on the floor and J.J. Redick, their bench unit, which has been awful for them this year, they were good last night. So give them credit. They're pretty, I've liked the Pelicans a lot. They don't have 3-point shooting, but I still like that team an awful lot. They lost a game early in the year to Indiana, similar to the way they almost lost last night, and it sent them on this tailspin, and they've never quite recovered as a unit and with Stan as the head coach. I think that's part of it. All right, let's get to some of the individuals. Donovan's first quarters are funky right now. We talked about how we're offensively not great in the first quarters. Well, Donovan is really scuffling in first quarters right now. This is strange. He's, since the Milwaukee game on February 12th, the 2 nights before, he was great. He lit up Indiana and lit up Boston. And he's 13 of 50 in the first quarter for 26% shooting. And he's 4 of 21 from 3. That's a bit unusual. He's only been to the line 6 times in that span. He hasn't been to the line in the first quarter in the last 4 games. Now, that's not as easy as it sounds because he only plays the first 9 minutes usually. So he doesn't get bonus minutes. And so he's got to draw he's not going to get an off-ball foul and get to the free throw line. That's a good deal of your free throw shooting. So that's a little, like, let's not, you know, use that as a great denominator of success. But, you know, your best offensive player is 13 of 50 in the first quarters and 4 of 21 from 3. That's not ideal. And that's causing some of these first quarter slumps. Now, at the same time, like, his second half the other night, he was masterful, and his third quarters have generally been great. I mean, like, blow your mind great. in that same time period. So is he feeling the game, trying to figure out what's going on? Probably. And now he's probably got to skew it back the other way. I mean, Philadelphia, 9 points. Clippers, 8, 12, 8 against the Hornets, 9 against the Lakers, 12 against the Heat, 15 against Orlando. So he's been astronomically awesome in third quarters, and you can't ask him to do, like, you can't ask him to score 45 points a game. So that's probably a little unrealistic to expect that in that sense. We have some other guys that are just a little off, right? So if you go just grab our team player stats for the last 10 games, just this is, you know, I think this is to the whole point that we were rolling. We had this kind of incredible momentum going, and now we've run out a little bit of that. And so if you just kind of look at some of our shooting numbers over the last 10 games, George and Joe have been amazing, and Mike's been really good. He's only played five of them. And then, you know, Clarkson's at 36%. Royce is at 32%. That one has me a little concerned. I'll explain that in a minute. And then Donovan is at 29%. So that's over the last 10 games. You just have some, you know, we've kind of done this all season where some of our guys are hot and some of our guys are cold. And over the last five, you have actually most of them being hot. So it's not as big a deal, but it just shows we're just not, you know, our margin's not small. So when we're not sharp, we still win. And it, I think, is misleading. The only one that I'm worried about, watching Royce last night, you know, go up against Zion Williamson, and then watch Royce, you know, guard Jason Tatum and Royce. I mean, Royce has been just superhuman with the defensive effort he's put out this year. The only thing that has me a little nervous on Royce is that for the last few years, there's been this trend that he hits the halfway point of the season and his shooting crumbles. So in 18-19, he shot 44% from three, and then he shot 30% after the break. And last year, he shot 40% from three, and then he shot 32% from the break. And, you know, so for his career, he's a 42% three-point shooter before the break and 31% post the break. And he's being asked to do an awful lot, and he's undersized, and I just think he gets worn out with that kind of burden every year. And here we have, you know, a sign that maybe that trend is coming back, which is not, you know, not particularly ideal. All right, power ranking Tuesday. It was done on Monday, so I'm assuming we'll still be number one in all the power rankings to make ourselves feel good. All right, we're off, so we might be one or two in the power rankings. Oh, geez, too bad. This has, like, become my best friend recently. Today's show is brought to you by Theragun. You can try Theragun for 30 days starting at only $199. You go to Theragun.com/lockedon right now and you get the Generation 4 Theragun today. That's Theragun.com/lockedon. Theragun.com/lockedon. Now, why Theragun? It is a percussion therapy device. It is not actually a percussion. There's not drums in there playing. So it gives you the deepest, releases your deepest muscle tension. I've got a thigh issue. You don't care, but, like, so I just do. Like, that's the, I can give you the whole story, but you don't really care. It'd be one of those stories, like, you're like, oh my gosh, why is he droning on? And so it just hurts all the time. And so I use my Theragun. It's scientifically calibrated combination of depth, speed, and power to get the deepest muscle tension. And it's not a percussion. It's actually pretty quiet. It's relieving the tension, trying to break through those fibers. It's giving you that therapy. It goes 60% deeper than vibration alone. So it's really pretty amazing. You want to treat your muscle tension from working out or injury. Mine's from injury over the years. I never dealt with it. It's the Theragun Gen 4. It's pretty awesome. So check it out. It's like having your home massage thing. It's trusted by 250 professional sports teams. Like Real Madrid and elite athletes like Paul George and DeAndre Hopkins, Maria Sharapova, and hundreds of thousands of customers. So Theragun, for 30 days, you get it for only $199. You can Theragun.com/lockedon right now and get your Theragun 4 today. That's Theragun.com/lockedon. Today's show is also brought to you by Rock Auto. Do-it-yourselfers, as well as professionals, all get treated the exact same in a family business serving auto parts customers online for over 20 years. RockAuto.com to shop your auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. They have everything the engine control modules to brake pads to tail lamps to motor oil, even new carpet, whether it's your classic or daily driver. It's everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. RockAuto.com. It's easy, simple navigation, old school site, quickly to find all the parts you need. When you're checking out, please make sure you put Locked On in the How Did You Hear About Us section. That's Locked On, the How Did You Hear About Us section. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, and all the cars your car will ever need. It's RockAuto.com. All right, Locked On Bets is your daily podcast, 15 minutes gambling, brought to you by betonline.ag, and you can use your your promo code Locked On to get a 50% welcome bonus. All right, we always start with Colin Ward Henniger of CBS Sports because he was the first one to have the Jazz as number one. He still does have the Jazz as number one. The rest of the top 10 is the Nets at 2, the Bucks at 3. That's a big move. They've won 5 straight, though. The Clippers at 4, the Suns at 5. He has the Lakers down to 6. LeBron James teams don't lose 4 games in a row very often, and the Lakers responded with impressive wins over the Blazers and Warriors. LeBron has struggled from the 3-point range after a storied start, while Dennis Schroeder returned to the much-needed offensive boost, averaging 17 points. The All-Star break couldn't come soon enough for the Lakers. Sixers at 7, Heat at 8, Warriors at 9, Mavericks at 10. So Denver out at 11 is kind of the only real surprise there. So that's, let's see what the NBA.com, John Schumann always does the best job. Through Sunday, 50% of games this year have been within 5 points in the last 5 minutes. So for all the talk of the blowouts, we've actually had about every other game is within five with the final 5 minutes, the exact same rate as last year. So the Jazz are kind of the unique team not playing close games. The Jazz, he said, if we counted only the games that weren't close, the Raptors would be the 3 seed in the East and the Nuggets would be tied for 4th in the West. In other words, Denver and Toronto have lost an inordinate amount of close games. John Schumann just does such a great job on his power rankings. It's kind of a must read every week. Chris Paul was the number one plus minus player in the week. Dennis House in Houston was the worst. The West is now winning 55% of the games, with the East actually won again last week. Schedule strength through week 10, Dallas, Minnesota, and Sacramento have had the toughest, and Phoenix, Orlando, and New York have had the easiest. The Jazz hold at number one. He talks about how the Jazz rank in the top 2 in regards of lowest percentage of opponent shots that have come in the restricted area or 3. Obviously, this is because of Rudy. We talk about this a lot. Last 2 nights, that has not been the case, obviously. The only team that's made at least 20 shots between the restricted area and the 3-point against the Jazz is and lost is the Sixers last year. So Brooklyn is number 2. I think everyone kind of agrees Brooklyn's waiting to take the Jazz spot at 1. Probably going to happen next week. The Lakers, he still has at 3. The Suns, he has up to 4. The Bucks at 5. The Clippers down 5 spots to 6. The Clippers are 3-3 against a pretty tough schedule since Paul George and Kawhi Leonard returned from 7-3-game absences. They have the league's 4th-ranked offense, but the disinterest is running. Their inability to get to the basket still holding them back. Only the Knicks have taken a lower percentage of shots in the first 6 seconds of the shot clock, and only the Magic have taken a lower percentage of shots in the restricted area. Interesting notes. John Schumann always nailing this feature. The Clippers were outscored by 43 points on fast breaks and 70 points in the restricted area in their 3 losses. And they went scoreless 7 straight possessions down the stretch in Milwaukee on Sunday and weren't able to get to the line or get to the basket. Just one of their 8 shots. So Kawhi Leonard is shooting 28% on clutch shots, which ranks last amongst players who attempted at least 25. He's 2 of 2 in the restricted area. He's 5 of 23 outside of it. Only 2 of his 25 shots in the clutch have come in the restricted area. 76ers are 7th. Nuggets are 8. Warriors are 9th. And the Spurs are 10th. So they have the Spurs in there, which is a little different instead of Miami. ESPN's ranking has the Jazz still at number 1. Lakers at 2. Brooklyn at 3. Clippers high up at 4. Bucks at 5. Phoenix at 6. So they have 5 of the top 6 teams being West Coast teams. Sixers at 7, Spurs at 8. Give the Spurs credit. Denver at 9 and Portland 10. So they have, and the Warriors at 11, just to keep that going. They have 9 of the top 11 teams on the ESPN ranking as West Coast teams. All right, let's go to the numbers. 538 has the full strength ratings right now as the Jazz as number one. The current ratings as the Jazz as number one. The projected record, the Jazz at 54-18. The Clippers at number two seed at 48. The Lakers and Suns tied at 47. I'm totally convinced the Lakers are going to slide to four. We're going to get the Lakers in the second round. Well, we'll have home court. The Bucks are the one seed. The Nets are the two. The Sixers are the three. The Raptors are four. Celtics, five. Heat, six in the East. In the West, the six that avoid the play-in are the Jazz, Clippers, Lakers, Suns, Nuggets still, and then the Blazers and the Mavericks are tied above the Spurs for that sixth spot. The playoff full strength rating, the Clippers come above the Jazz, then the Nuggets follow that. Their overall full strength rating has the Jazz as one and the their current rating. And finally, our good friends at Basketball Reference, who do have their SRS ranking we talked about earlier, and now actually have the projected 2021 standings out because they have the rest of the schedule. They project the Jazz at 55 wins. And the Suns, winning percentage, they have the Jazz is the one, the Clippers is two, the Suns is three, the Lakers is four. They have Lakers, Denver, first round, Suns, Warriors, first round, then you don't know, Dallas, Portland, San Antonio, Memphis is the play, and the Pelicans, 31% chance of making the playoffs. I would guess that rises. They have the Jazz as the 94% chance to be the one seed in the West at this point. They have the Bucks as the one, Brooklyn is the two, Philadelphia is the three, Toronto four, Boston five, and New York is the six, with Miami sliding into the play-in game here with the Pacers, Hornets, and Hawks, who fired Lloyd Pierce. So, see, still good news on all fronts. We're the number one seed. We're the number one power ranking team. All is fine, even though we're not quite as sharp as we once were. That's Locked On Jazz today. Right now, tell your smart device to play the most recent episode of podcast Locked On today.